Blog Talk Radio.
This is Allen Sports City. We are back. Happy Brunch. Let's go. City. I got it from here, Jay. Come on, man. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for at least the next hour or so here in Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else, but y'all are here with the chefs. The brunch may continue, and a lot of interesting stuff went on throughout this week. I can't lie, Sports City, this has been a very heavily emotional week for myself personally. Trying to do the best that I can to get through it, but I'm back in the building as best as I possibly can. We do have a new president elected, as in Joe Biden. So salute to all of the Democrats out there, all of the people across the board. It don't even have to be political party, but at least the people spoke on what just happened in the past 4 years. But I'm going to say this because I'm starting in a, you know, I want to start in a positive note, and this is more personal than anything. Is the pressure, too, is still on Joe Biden. Just because he got in the office does not mean that everything's okay. He has issues that he has to address from previous years and also get us to move along, I want to say more in a harmonious gesture or path, you know, in a path that we need to follow. We need to be together. And from this election right here, just to see how close it was, this still shows how heavily divided we are. So I don't buy into that United States stuff until it truly means something. So the pressure is still on. At least we got to the first base as best as possible. Now we have to get the second, third, and home so we can actually be together as best see fit. But right now, things are moving in a, I want to say, in a positive direction. I want to say it just like that. And we had to, you know, crumble as best as possible to be rebuilt in a better light, if you will. So, just like I said, it's an emotional week. Got to get through it. Sport week was crazy in itself. Cannot lie. I was at the edge of my seat personally, too, on Friday night. We will get into that as best as possible as well. There's also inklings out of the fight world, UFC. I want to get into that quickly as best as possible. Glover Teixeira takes care of business up against Thiago Santos last night. This ended in the third round with a rear naked choke. Glover Teixeira is looking like the new man to beat in that division. But we'll see if he can get another title shot. And there's more inklings of Jan Błachowicz, if I'm saying that correctly, going up against Israel Adesanya for a chance at a belt too. So this is another heightened situation in the MMA octagon world. I'm not going to lie, Sports City, I thought that Santos could probably win this because he was doing better in the last couple of fights that he did have. He's a more of a counter striker. I thought that he would let Glover trying to, you know, start the dancing off, if you will. But Glover did and was more of the, you know, fighter that was coming forward and did everything that he could to get Santos to the ground a couple times. And in the third, he got that choke to submit him in 1 minute and 49 seconds in the third round. So shout out to Glover Teixeira, a very close friend of mine, actually fought him and beat Glover. So we'll see if he gets back into the octagon, hopefully soon. It's probably within I say, 6 to 8 month realm of it happening. I don't know if he jumps in and fights the big names in the weight class, but it would be very interesting to see the name get back into the line of fire, if you will. But that is the bigger news in the UFC that I did want to talk about. I mean, there was a knockout with Giles and Lewis in the third round, too, but I just wanted to at least get to this fight because this was the one that a lot of people knew about with the bigger names and them coming off of an interesting resume of having to come back and make a name for themselves. So this is huge. But Glover Teixeira takes care of business. And there is some interesting news coming out in a couple of the next couple of fights, but I don't want to talk about them until they fully put things out there. In the boxing world, Devin Haney takes care of business up against Gamboa. I'm going to be honest with you. This is the bad part about what I'm about to say, because I really don't like painting these pictures because I am a big boxing fan. Gamboa, I feel bad in saying this. This is a time where you should either fight at a weight class where you can try and dominate or put the gloves up. I feel bad in saying this. You are a credible name. You've made a name for yourself in the boxing world, but all of the bigger names are using you as the stepping stone fight. I don't like to see that you're getting pummeled by Haney. You got beat by Crawford. They're putting you in there to get tattooed. And I mean, if you get your shots, you will hit somebody, but you've been losing the last couple of fights too. So I don't know. You can't never question the heart of a champion or a fighter. He's not going to give up himself, but a lot of these boxers that are up and coming are getting their rocks off on taking care of business up against you. Saul Canelo Alvarez is a free agent. He is released from Golden Boy and DSZN. Both of the companies were basically taking care of business with Canelo. I don't know if it was more or less due to inactivity or just the size not coming to a common ground, but Canelo is free. I'm going to say this here and now because nobody said it, but I know probably a lot of people are thinking it. Canelo, go sign with Money Mayweather. It's not like you're not a big name in the sport. It's not like you have not fought Floyd. It's not like you are not the boxer that's on that type of path to make a name for yourself. Go sign with Mayweather Promotions and be the biggest name in there. And Floyd attracts it. So I think that'll be a good situation for Floyd. There's no way Floyd could run away from saying Canelo signed with me. So this could be very interesting. And it's funny how, you know, Oscar was so supportive of Canelo before the fight. And then after the fight between Canelo and Floyd, it's kind of like they've had their rifts. And you look at Canelo as a young guy. I mean, I think he's in his early 30s. I think he just got to 30, if I'm not mistaken. He still, at least to me, has a solid 4 to 6 years of scary boxing. Like, I think after the 6th year, he'll probably look like he's slowing down. But there's not a lot of people that want to get in front of Canelo, too. So I think this would be a perfect scenario if he did sign with Floyd Mayweather. That would be huge if he can get that job done. But other news in boxing, Tyson Fury's deal is supposed to be finalized for him to be fighting on the 5th, on the 5th of December. Hopefully that comes through for him. Anthony Joshua is set to fight Usyk as well if he's not able to get the fight that he wants. So that would be a very interesting fight with Usyk making a storm for his name, and he's finally getting recognized by the bigger names, at least Anthony Joshua for the moment, title holders as well. So this is close to being a very interesting fight. This will be off in London as well, but Anthony Joshua and Usyk are looking like they are set to fight. We have to see. We have to see. It's still time prevailing in this one. Clearly, I think it's set to me. I would love to see the Joshua Fury fight, but I can't, you know, overlook the fact that Usyk has done enough to make a name for himself. Fury is undefeated. Speaking of heavyweights, Deontay Wilder has a loss. Anthony Joshua has his loss, too. So these guys are all trying to make a name for themselves. Tyson Fury is the guy that's remaining unbeaten right here now. Usyk also is undefeated, too, but he doesn't have the amount of fights as the other fighters that I spoke of. But he's made a name for himself. He has a belt, too. I really think this is set up for Joshua to fight Tyson Fury. I would love that. That would be a very interesting fight, that these two have been talking more smack to each other more than ever and not been able to get this fight lined up. So I think the Usyk domino is the first thing to start to get a lot of these chips to fall, whether win or lose. I don't take anything away from Usyk. Usyk has been able to fight this well up until this point and hold that zero. That's what I don't like to see undefeated fighters go at it because, you want to see them go as far as possible with their zero. Somebody's always have to go. And if this sets up, and at least Anthony Joshua does have a loss. So Usyk has to hold on to that up against probably one of the biggest names in heavyweight boxing. So if he ends up knocking out Joshua or winning the fight up against Joshua, he has the majority of the belt except the WBC, which is being held by Tyson Fury. So I don't know. I don't even know how. Like I said, I think I'd rather see the Joshua Fury fight because these two have been talking junk. They're all from the European area, but I love the style that Usyk fights with, and he's getting overlooked in a lot of his fights, and he still comes out clean winning his fight, and so on and so forth. I can't get mad at what he's been able to do up until this point. Okay, so I'm going to get moving from the fighting world and get into the top 25 here on Sports City Now. Oh, my goodness. Like, the committee, I know y'all got your hands full. Y'all have your hands full almost every week, and it's fortunate but unfortunate to say the least that, we're dealing with a pandemic and a lot of these teams are having their home games and no fans there. So there's no real home field advantage other than just being in a different stadium. But there's a lot of teams in the top 25 that I think that they needed to reconsider putting there just because they have them there for name value. I will get to the team or teams that I'm speaking of because they have more to prove. And this has happened, for quite some time when they, get caught up having favorites in the top 25. And if they lose a couple of games, it's like, well, what were they doing there in the first place? I think this has to be earned. And I know they have to put somebody there at the end of the day. They do. But when they lose once, and if it's an interesting loss, y'all just can't just vote for them to be in the top 25 for that just to be the thing. So everybody, taps each other on the shoulder and have them in the top 25. But I'm rambling, but that's just my personal thought on how the committee has been taking care of business up against this, the names and, I want to say power conferences, but to me, they don't show a lot of power. But I'm going to get into it. So first and foremost, Friday, the first couple of matchups in the top 25, Brigham Young University goes into Boise State and throttles Boise State in a conference battle, 51-17. I said this here before on Sports City, I think about a week or two ago, but I had just got notice from him just as soon as possible. Please watch out for Zach Wilson. He may be one of the favorites, if not the favorite, for the Heisman. With Trevor Lawrence having his issues dealing with the COVID and him missing the past two games, they said that this may end up removing his name from the list for the Heisman Trophy finalists because he's missed games. It's unfortunate that this is what he's dealing with the coronavirus situation. There's nothing that he could have done, unless he walked in a bubble. It's so unfortunate because it's like, what are people supposed to do? I don't know what you want people to do. And they're trying to follow it as best as possible, and he couldn't. But then again, let me get away from it because I'm getting personal. BYU beats Boise State. Very interesting, a conference battle. Both of these teams were ranked in the top 25. I think Boise State may hang on, probably in like 24 or 25, depending on what's behind them. But I know they will fall. I wonder what the committee will do with BYU, especially with the games that went down on Saturday. But we will get into that. Me, on Friday, at the edge of my seat until the final of the game, Miami, 11th ranked, goes into Raleigh up against the Wolfpack of North Carolina State. And North Carolina State was winning the majority of the game. And personally, I'm going to do this. I think this is why the committee picks on Miami. They will not give Miami credit until they, interestingly enough, knock off a team blowout style like the old Miami. Instead of having these nail-biter type of games, they don't respect Miami. I feel like they will waddle their way into a top 10. I think they'll have them at 10. They don't want to give them any room to move to like 9, 8, 7, 6. They should have been there, but I will get there as soon as possible. This game was so interesting that I actually had to leave with like 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and Miami was losing. And I said to myself, if they win this game, it's you. I said it to myself. If Miami wins this game, it's because of you. If they lose it, then it was meant to be. As soon as I get outside of my house, they go, they get a stop. Next thing you know, they punt. Miami scores a touchdown. Him and Derrick King and Mike Harley connect for a 54-yard touchdown. Miami now has a lead 44-41. I'm looking at it on my phone while I'm driving. I'm like, oh, goodness, like this is dangerous for me, let alone this is dangerous for Miami, so they leave time on the clock. The ball exchanges. Now North Carolina has the ball to start their two-minute drive. The first pass that Hockman throws is picked off, turnover chain for the first part of the night, and Miami runs the clock out. I'm telling you, hoping that Miami could crack the top 10 personally for myself is what I hope, and hopefully they get their name back up there, but the committee doesn't respect them. And I was hoping to see the turnover chain come out at least once or twice. They had it at the most epic time of the game, and I wasn't able to see it, but Miami pulled it off. Like I said, I was at the edge of my seat, even me having to leave the game, and that game went longer than expected, well longer than expected, over 3 hours. Let me get into the top 25 and what went down, I'm trying to say both of them at the same time, on Saturday, in which the upset begins. And I'm not going to lie, Sports City, I'm saying this truth, everything. I said Notre Dame will end up winning this in against Clemson, with this being in Indiana and them being without Trevor Lawrence. It's not too many times that you can see Trevor Lawrence's team pull this off without him. And Notre Dame is really proven that they are really the new undefeated Notre Dame team. I think this win right here, with them winning 47-40 up against Clemson, puts Notre Dame in the number one position. There's nothing that I can say. They beat Clemson. Unfortunate enough that they didn't have Trevor Lawrence, but they had to do what they had to do. They won this game. It went to overtime. And for them to steal it late in the second overtime is great for Notre Dame, because a lot of people are saying, oh, they're not in the conference, they're not playing anybody. Well, they're in the ACC, and they played one of the top two, top three teams in the nation, beat them. It's unfortunate enough that Trevor Lawrence wasn't there. Hopefully Trevor Lawrence can bounce back and get Clemson into the playoffs, and they could potentially meet there if nothing happens to either team on the way out the door. Tyron Williams had 140 yards rushing, three touchdowns up against his Clemson defense. Leading the way was DJ, the quarterback for Clemson, had 439 yards passing, two touchdowns thrown, and one of them to Cornell Powell, where he had an interesting day, six catches for 161 yards and a touchdown. So I wonder where Clemson falls. I don't think they fall below five. I think they're somehow, some way, they'll save face to keep them in the top five. We'll keep on cruising. The next matchup I have is Ohio State taking care of business in the Shoe in Columbus, Ohio, 49-27. Rutgers falls to 1-2 in Big Ten play. The next matchup I have, another upset, even though I don't really look at this as an upset, because this is a war. Regardless of how this goes down, the Florida Gators takes care of business up against the Georgia Bulldogs, 44-28, to where I think the Georgia Bulldogs have a hell of a name for themselves. I can't take away too much from them, but they are fool's gold. They have quality players. They played well in an interesting part of the season. They have two losses going up against a questionable Florida team, dealing with all of the issues that they've been dealing with. Georgia should have been able to defend Athens, Georgia, as best as possible, being at home, not dealing with the amount of situations that Florida's been dealing with. Kyle Trask was able to take care of business for 474 yards passing up against a Georgia defense, who they rank Georgia's defense is high, real high in the top 25 across the nation. However you want to look at it, Georgia defense is respected. For them to come into the bushed-in confines of Georgia. They went in there, and well, this actually took place on a neutral ground in Jacksonville. I'm sorry. I'm getting ready to say, well, Georgia was the home team. Nevertheless, Florida mopped them up, winning this by 16. Georgia actually just had a better running day from Zamir White, and Zamir had 7 carries for 107 yards. Majority of the time, that's a home run being hit. And Malik Davis had a 100-yard receiving day as well for Florida. I want to see where Georgia ends up going with their 2 losses now. They have 2 losses. The committee, they respect them. They have favorites, but I want to see where they end up falling. Okay, so let me get through the remainder of the top 25. Cincinnati takes care of business up against Houston, winning 38-10, in which Cincinnati's also made a name for themselves, being counted out in the game up against Memphis, and they won that game. So they have to keep on running the table so they can be considered for the playoffs. I'm hoping that they do get in, because this is unfortunate that now that we have the playoff situation, the teams may get nipped because they're not the favorite to get there. Texas A&M wins their game up against South Carolina in South Carolina, 48-3, in which Texas A&M, 5-1 on the season, is making a name in the SEC as well. And, I mean, with that one loss staggering in their loss column, this is where a lot of these teams will end up falling into an interesting situation, because if there's a busload of teams that are undefeated, how do they get this going? So the committee, you guys' hands are full. They're going to have to start making this like 6-8. I want to see how many teams they could get in there. 10, like get it at 10. At least you can corral some of the one-loss teams that are good. But we'll see as we get closer to the selection committee and how they start to set schedule lists for the FBS. But Cincinnati is undefeated and cruising. Texas A&M wins that one also. So, and continuing on in the top 25, Oregon is next. They win their matchup first game played in the Pac-12 as they open up play for this weekend up against Stanford, 35-14, in which Tyler Shough threw for 227 yards passing. They also had a good running day from C.J. Verdell, who had 105 yards rushing with a touchdown scored as well. It's unfortunate that these two had to start out the gate playing like this, knowing that this is a quality conference battle, rivalry also, state lines at that, and Stanford falls short, getting blown out in Oregon. Now, I was going to say the score quickly, but I couldn't, because this is where I was talking about earlier in the show, that the committee has their hands full on picking their favorites. Now, I understand that Michigan is one of the quality teams across the board year in and year out. They, you know, can drive interesting athletes or scholar athletes coming in there, whether they, you know, by scholarship or, you know, however. But Michigan has been losing more than they've been winning, even though they've only played 3 games, and they are still in the top 25. The way that they came out the gate, interesting enough, losing a game and winning a game in a winnable game that they had to win, that interesting one up against Minnesota. But then losing last week, they still hung on to be a top 25. Them losing this game to Indiana, 38-21, in a blowout form for them having to go into Bloomington, in Indiana. I wonder if Michigan falls out of the top 25. I wonder if Michigan is ringing that bell to start up the hot seat for Harbaugh. And the bad part about it is I like Harbaugh. I'm not a bad guy trying to analyze Harbaugh. Harbaugh has made a career for some interesting names. One of the names that I want to see go out there and play football, but somehow, some way he's not eligible, or they think he's not qualified to play football. But he's been able to turn Michigan around. But knowing that I'm a Detroit guy or Detroit fan, I know a lot of guys out there in Michigan, and they're saying that they are clamoring for his job out there in Michigan, and that hot seat is up there. And just to hear their anger towards the situation, they're saying the highest he'll get us is 9-3, 10-2. Like, they're looking at him always losing the game that counts. Like, he doesn't get this team up and ready to win the game up against Ohio State or win a rivalry game that means something. But right now they're 1-2. They'd have to run the table to get some respect to be included for an interesting bowl. I don't think they can fall into a playoff situation. They'd have to blow out everybody and win that game up against Ohio State to be considered. But I don't think that can happen, especially the quality of play that they're out here putting on the field. But, again, the Wolverines fall to Indiana. It's unfortunate, but Indiana is the question right now. They're undefeated. Do they crack the top 10? Do they crack the top 10? We'll see what the committee is up to later. Oklahoma State in a nail-biter up against Kansas State in Manhattan. Kansas wins their matchup in Big 12 play 20-18. A safety split them, but that wasn't how the game was won. That's how the game was played. Oklahoma State was a top 10 team until they lost last week. They are sitting at 14. We'll see if they do get into the top 20. I don't think if they'll move up. The Big 12 isn't that impressive to me, especially with the quality teams that are there. Them, Oklahoma, TCU, Kansas State, none of them are really gaudy other than Oklahoma State, which they've fallen so far after their first loss on the season. 20-18, they lose to Kansas. I mean, they beat Kansas State, excuse me. Coastal Carolina making a name for themselves, undefeated, 7-0 on overall play, 5-0 in the Sun Belt, 23-6 up against South Alabama. They've moved a total of 10 spots. They were top 25. They just made the 25th spot in the nation. They've been cruising, taking care of business before this game. They pushed them to top 15 in the nation. I wonder how far they go up, especially in the conference that they play, on what the committee will do to show them respect or keep them hovering around 15, 14, 13. I want to see how these numbers move, as a lot of these teams ahead of them had lost. So we'll see. We'll see. But shout out to Coastal Carolina. You are getting your recognition due and playing the teams that are on your schedule and beating them handily. The next matchup I have is the Thunder and Herd of Marshall winning their game in a blowout up against UMass 51-10. In which UMass has been facing a lot of interesting, questions, if you will, or sanctions moving forward. I want to see how they address them moving forward. But Marshall doesn't get the consideration that they deserve due to the fact that they play in the conference that they play in. They always mash out a lot of the teams that they're taking care of, and they're 6-0 in overall play and 4-0 at home. I don't know how far the committee will move them up also, but I definitely think they cracked the top 15. So, Marshall, keep doing your thing, and hopefully they'll consider you to be in this playoff, especially if you guys are undefeated at the end of the season running the table. Iowa State, out of nowhere, a lot of people didn't think that they would be where they are. They take care of business up against Baylor in a one-score event, 38-31, or one-possession event, let me say it that way, 38-31. Iowa State has been winning a lot of games on the schedule that a lot of people didn't think that they would win. I think they'll also be another team that could crack the top 15, where they are in the Big 12, where defense is not really played. But, again, we will see how the committee puts this together later on. SMU, Pony Express, win their matchup handily in Philadelphia up against the Temple Owls, 47-23, in which this was played in the link also. SMU with their one loss on the season in conference play. It's tough. It's tough because there's a lot of teams that could end up in the top 15 at least. The committee has their hands full. Blowout going on in Norman, Oklahoma. The Oklahoma Sooners blow out the Kansas Jayhawks 62-9. I feel real bad for Kansas because Les Miles went there, and I thought that he would be the name to help turn this team around. It did not happen. They are winless on the season. It is almost into a portion of the season where – you don't want to be that team that loses to Kansas unless they see a favorable matchup or like the rivalry matchup against Kansas State. And I still think Kansas State would handily win that matchup. I don't know if Kansas has a win in them, but Nick Saban would probably be the only team that can go, only coach that could go there and help save this team, unfortunately. The next matchup to open up Pac-12 play, another game, USC wins their matchup up against Arizona State 28-27, in which Arizona State had a lead of, I think, 11. They had an 11-point lead. No, a 10-point lead, excuse me. They had a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter and stormed back to score their two touchdowns to win this. I'm not going to lie, Sports City, watching this early portion of the game, I was really thinking that USC was going to outright win this one, like, cleanly, like no scars, scabs, or anything. And Herm Edwards got Arizona State up enough to make this a game. And make USC fight for this as they are being ranked 20th in the nation. This may be a game that causes recognition, but this is their first game of the season. So, and this being a nail biter at home in Cali is another thing too. So I want to see what they do schedule wise, or not even schedule wise, ranking wise, and you know how many pieces fall in favor for USC. But at least they're able to make a name for themselves first game on the season. Texas wins their matchup in the Big 12, where defense was finally being played up against West Virginia, 17-13. I really thought that this would be a shootout. They said, oh, no, we're going to play defense in this one, and we're going to sweat this one out. Texas being 22nd ranked in the nation, they would not let them fall too far out. They did fall out, but now they made a name for themselves, winning their game last week. I think they get into the teens. I think they will somehow schedule these guys to get back into the ranks as they see fit. The next matchup I have, or the last one of the top 25, Liberty with the upset, or well, they're ranked 25th. I can't really say an upset because Virginia Tech isn't ranked, but I would think that it favored Virginia Tech being home. Virginia Tech loses this matchup 38-35 with a late game field goal to help Liberty seal the deal in Blacksburg, Virginia. I do want to tip my hat to Virginia Tech, though. I am an ACC guy. I know that they are a rival of mine. But for them to have to overcome all of the issues that they've had to deal with, dealing with the virus and not having a full stable of guys to go week by week and being able to, you know, try and survive the storm as best as possible, shout out to the Hokies, man. Like on a personal level, just for me, not even analytically, even though you guys are 4-3, I salute you for actually out, being able to go out there and put forth a game with the next man up mentality. It's not even really injuries. It's stuff that's in the air that is, you know, causing people not being able to play. It's very unfortunate. So I'm shouting out the Hokies here because they've had to deal with it. Like there's a bunch of other teams, but Virginia Tech to be one of those mentionable teams, I have to go with that one, including their quarterback, Hendon Hooker. He had 217 yards passing. He also had 156 yards rushing. So dual threat quarterback, doing what he could. The only game that was lost was the Purdue Boilermakers going into Madison up against the Wisconsin Badgers. This game was canceled due to all of the players, staff members that have been, you know, found with the coronavirus. I think it was of a total of 22, maybe less or more. And it's unfortunate that this is what's going on, and it's affecting teams' play, just like Virginia Tech, like I said. Wisconsin is dealing with the same issue as well. So shout out to the Badgers. Hopefully you guys get out there and get to play. That is rounding out the top 25 with a few of the interesting losses by some teams within the top 10 or within the top 25, however it may come down. The committee has their hands full. I want to see how they have a lot of these teams pegged to go into the top 10. Some of them that are below 15, where do they go? Are they in the 15th rank? Will some of them crack the 10 that are below the 15? Is BYU one of the miserable teams that can move to a top 5 because of how their offense plays? They already have them at 9. We will see. But like I said, again, the committee's hands will be full moving on later. So I will be getting into the games for the week 9 NFL. Oh, my goodness. It's like every game that I'm looking at is like, I don't want to say like a trap game, but this could be a situation where it's no real easy matchup. There's no real easy matchup. There's about like 3, maybe 4, and those are toss-ups, you know. So I am going to get into the picks, predictions, and thoughts and opinions for the games of week 9. The first matchup I have are the Denver Broncos going into Atlanta up against the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are 2-6. The Falcons are 2-6. They have not won a game on at home yet. Excuse me, I'm saying everything wrong. They have not won a game at home yet. They are in the confines of being in their own bed, well, even though they probably go to a team hotel. But they get to enjoy their locker room and be comfortable up against a Broncos team that we don't know what we have. They're 3-4. They are hovering around 500 play. A lot of the games that they won, a lot of people counted them out, and they were able to win these games. If I had to pick this game, I will go Falcons. The Falcons are favored by 4 at home. I don't think Drew can go out here and steal this game for the Falcons while the Falcons are trying to save face for a season that they lost early. If the Falcons are able to win out, they could go 10-6. I don't know if they have 10-6 in them, but this could be one of the games that can make this an interesting run for the Falcons after winning their game up against Carolina. So we will see if they can start running this table. If not, this will be a questionable season for, you know, the players that are there. They already got rid of Quinn. I want to know how many pieces do fall away from the Falcon wagon. Not fan-wise. I know one big fan in my life, but I don't think it'll be a situation where it's that scary. But I think the Falcons will win this game and keep on moving. Now, the next game I have is the scary game that I have. The Seahawks enter Buffalo, New York, to play an interesting enough Buffalo Bills team who's sitting at 6-2, 3-1 at home, and not scared of anybody, leading the AFC East and going up against the Seattle team, who's one of the top five teams in the league, but they're traveling across the country. It does not favor a team to fly across country, especially playing a Buffalo Bills team who's trying to hang on to the lead. The Seahawks are favored by 3 in Buffalo. Oh, man. I'm going to go Bills. I think the Bills pulled this one off. Russ, I don't want to do this, man. I don't even want to say go against you, but I feel it's something up with the Bills. A lot of people are going to go with the Seahawks to win this, them being favored by 3. I think the Bills will take this personally and try to slow up what Russell has in that offensive cavalry, even though it's DK and Tyler. You got to try and slow them down somehow. And then you have the open game of Russell Wilson taking off if things aren't good for him downfield. Of course, I'm forgetting my Hurricane legend and Greg Olsen. So that's a part of that offense. But the one thing about it is whose defense is going to come up with the most stops? That's not the original Legion of Boom. And Buffalo's defense is, you know, up and down. They'll play a good game one week, and then they'll come in and give you a nail bite, and they're getting scored on left and right. But as long as Tre'Davious White is there, you have at least one good cover corner that can make a difference in the passing game for other teams. But this is a tough game, and I've been forced to make this pick right now. I'm going to go Buffalo Bills. Shout out to the tri-state area. Shout out to Washington, too, the state of Washington. Got to give y'all credit, dude, for doing what y'all did in this past week. Another interesting game. I don't know the direction of either team, but both of their records are looking similar or identical. You have the 5-3 Chicago Bears going into Tennessee up against the 5-2 Tennessee Titans, on where the Tennessee Titans have lost their game up against Pittsburgh recent enough, but and they also lost their game last week, up against the Bengals as well. And a game that took place in Ohio, I really thought Tennessee was going to go in there and get that game and get to go home. They didn't. They're coming off of some losses. I think that they are seeing blood. They have to go out there and get this game from the Bears, who are in question at least at the quarterback position. They are able to put points on the board. Their defense does well, but it's just something about the offense, and they point a lot of fingers at what the quarterback is able to create. I think that Tennessee makes this a game and wins this game. I think this is a one-score event. I think they win this by at least 4 or 3 points. I really want to say 3 to be safe, but I think it'll be a situation where Chicago needs a touchdown and they aren't able to get it up against a defense in the Titans that has to be hungry right now. They've been losing games and it's on the heels of this defense. The defense needs a win at home to pull this off. I think Tennessee gets this one. Another game being forced to pick right now. The Baltimore Ravens are on the road up against the Indianapolis Colts, both of which sit at 5-2. Both of which are unbeaten in their respect. The Ravens are undefeated on the road. The Colts are undefeated at home. Boy, these styles are matching at least team for team. Both defenses are playing effectively. They both have an interesting receiving core attack with not quality big names. I don't want to, pick on them too much. I mean, they get the job done with the quarterbacks, which is I was lining this game up to be. A quarterback battle who ends up winning this one between Lamar or Phillip Rivers. And I doubted Phillip Rivers last week and going up against him against my hometown. I'm not from there, but the team that I love to support in the Detroit Lions, he was able to pull that one off. But going up against Lamar Jackson, who has to show more than he can just scramble, because a lot of people are picking on his passing abilities. And it is showing true in the games where he's going up against quality defenses. He's going to have to pull this one off against the Colts. As bad as I want to say Ravens, I think the Colts pull this off. I think the Colts win this game and make the questions start buzzing about Lamar Jackson, if he is ready for the league or not. I still think he is. There's a lot of people that debate me on this one. But the Colts have an interesting defense that a lot of people aren't giving credit to. I had to wake up to them last week. And for the plays that they've been making and going unnoticed, shout out to the Indianapolis Colts. Quietly 5-2 at the top of the AFC South division. I'm going to go Colts. Lamar, you got something to prove. You got it. I don't know how you get this one done, but got to figure it out. The next matchup I have, I could cruise by this one as best as I can. The Carolina Panthers are coming to Arrowhead. I was going to say Arrowhead. Where am I? Wake up. Arrowhead Stadium up against the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to make this interesting. The spread is at 10. I think the Chiefs cover the 10. Interesting that the Panthers get back McCaffrey. So Christian McCaffrey is a go in this game, but the Chiefs' run and pass defense has been playing better. I hope they don't get lost trying to locate Christian McCaffrey, because then this will make this a game. I don't think Carolina has what it takes to go in the Arrowhead and steal this game. And I'm going to make this. I'm going with the spread. I give Carolina the 10 points for the Chiefs to pull this one off. I think the Chiefs win this one by at least 14, 17 points. Panthers, show me something. Show me something. You've been up and down all season. You guys are 3-5. You got your guy Christian back. Can you make a push in the NFC South? I don't know. Can you make a push for the wild card? It's there. It's there. But it has to start here, because you can't fall to 3-6. And then start running the table. But we will see. I want to see what you guys have left in the tank. The next matchup I have is the Detroit Lions going into Minnesota up against the Minnesota Vikings. Oh, my goodness. So Matthew Stafford is now cleared the COVID list. He is eligible to play today. I'm more or less thinking that he is starting. The Minnesota Vikings are coming off of an interesting win, winning their matchup up against Green Bay last week in Lambeau with this offense clicking. Minnesota is favored by 3.5 in this game. And this is a tough one, Sports City, for me, because personally, when I go with the team that's at home against my boys, something always happens and it goes the other way, right? I'm not going with Detroit today. And I'm not doing this for some reverse psychology. I really think that the Vikings have more offensive weapons to go against a questionable defense, and then without Trey Flowers, but they get Everson Griffin today to go up against his former team, Adrian Peterson going up against his former team, and Kears, the safety, also is going up against a former team in the Minnesota Vikings. But if we don't have a linebacker to stay with Dalvin Cook, and Dalvin Cook, to me, has legitimized his name as a top five running back in the league, this could be a long day for Detroit. If they can't stop Dalvin Cook, I really find it hard for them to get to Kirk Cousins. Even though Kirk Cousins is not been playing up to par, him being at home, he gets to be comfortable going up against the Detroit Lions team. As much as I want to go with it just because it is my team, I'm going Vikings until they could really prove to me legitimately that they can slow down at least Dalvin Cook. If they can stop Dalvin Cook, then we could force this pass game to try to beat us. And I don't know, especially with the injuries up front, Trey not being able to play. Hopefully Trufant is in the game so we can have another corner. This is going to be tough for Detroit, but I'm going Minnesota to win this one. Another 1 o'clock game, another tough one. I told you, there's no let-up in all these tough games, even in the one that I'm about to mention. The New York Giants go into FedEx Field up against the Washington football team, in which both of these guys are fighting to stay from the bottom. The Giants are the worst team in the division. The Redskins have 2 wins, to say the least bit. But they are a strong team, but they just can't put together wins. They have speed in that offense. The defense does make plays, but they're 2-7. Two and five. I can't really respect what they've been able to put forth in the win column, but they're doing the best that they can, especially in the division that a lot of people are considering being the worst division in football. I agree. I could never think that it would be this bad in week 9, where the best team in the division is 3 4-1, right? That's the record, I think, for Philly, for them to hang on to what they have right now. So Philly's leading that division, fortunately. But in this game, I am going to go with the Giants to pull this off. I think the Giants have more weapons to get this game and a defense that can slow Washington up. I really want to see Washington win this game to keep the Giants where they are because, let's be honest, I want to see Danny Jones do work, but they're going to end up getting the first one of the top two picks. I think that they need a big face quarterback to come in and get this done. Danny Jones, as quality as he's playing or as he has tried to get done, he turns the ball over often enough, fumble or getting picked, and they aren't really generating any touchdowns. So I'm picking the Giants to win the game, not the Washington football team. I'm not picking the Washington football team. I'm picking the Giants to win this game on the road to make it interesting enough at the bottom of the NFC East. It'll be tough to see it happen, but I think Danny Jones, I'm not going to call him Danny Dimes. A lot of people want me, well, I do that personally just to be funny, but I don't know if he has it in him to blow the team out. I think this would be interesting enough, to say the least. But, I'm going to go Giants to win this matchup. And another nail-biter, because the last game that they played, this went to the wire, in which it was a 19-20 game, and the coach wanted to go for two, and the ball did not – well, the pass was not completed at the end of the day. So, I really want to pull the trigger on Washington, but I'm going to go Giants. My next matchup I have – okay, I do have somebody in the building. Okay, calling out of Cali. I got him early. I think this may be Norm. Norm, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Ty, what's up? What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man, getting through the week 9 picks right now. I don't know where you heard from or which games you want to go from. I can start from the top and let you get in here or where I was at. Either or, would you like to start from the top or no?
No. You know, I'll say I'll take Washington in that game. But yeah, that's just going to be a knock them out, drag them out game. Not a lot of offense, I think. And I just take Washington because they're at home with their defense. But I will say, I think Daniel Jones, if he doesn't throw some interceptions, he's done a pretty decent job for a second year guy. I mean, he's not wowing anybody, but I think he's kind of holding down the fort the best he can with a not very good football team. So. But I think I'd tilt towards Washington just because they're at home and their defense is better.
So we're split on this game. I'm saying Giants, and he was able to pull this off in Washington last time they met for their only win on the season. And you know, he doesn't really have a quality of weapons. And going into this game, he is without suspended Golden Tate. Golden Tate got himself suspended for this game. And I think Coach Judge is more along the lines of saying he didn't want any more selfish athletes and want to hear it. And Golden is doing as much as he can to either get let out or traded out or released. I don't know how we're going to go about this one. I'll start from the top and get your pick on each of these games also. Broncos or Falcons, this game takes place in Atlanta. Atlanta is favored by 4.
Yeah, I'll take Atlanta in the dome. They, I'm sure they're going to get out to an early lead. So if I'm a betting man, I'll bet the first half line. I won't touch the Falcons in the second half. But I think the Falcons, they should be able to take care of business against the Broncos.
I mean, aren't you a betting man? Yes or no? You said if you are or if you're not.
I am a betting man, but I'm not betting on that one.
Right. I know. I wouldn't even touch it either. I wouldn't touch it either. The next matchup I have, Seahawks and Bills, this game takes place in Buffalo. The Seahawks are favored on the road by 3. Who do you like in this matchup and why?
Yeah, I actually like the Seahawks, and it's tough because I'm kind of liking what the Bills have. I mean, the Bills look solid, but if you look at it, the Bills, when they play the top-tier teams in the league, they're struggling, you know, that their two losses come from two better teams, and they really struggle against really good teams. And Seattle is that. Seattle's defense isn't anything to bark about, but, I mean, Russell Wilson's having a banner year. I wouldn't bet on this game because it can go either way, but I'll tip towards the Seahawks on that one.
Okay. the next matchup, and I went Bills on that one too. I went Bills, so we're split. The next matchup I have are the Chicago Bears on the road up against the Tennessee Titans. Bears 5-3, Titans 5-2. The Titans are favored by 6 in this matchup. Who do you like and why?
Oof, yeah, again another game that I think is just close. I don't really like either of these teams, to be honest with you. I don't think they're top tier teams. I think the Titans are going to win, but I don't think they cover the spread. I think I would take the Bears plus the points on that because I think it's going to be closer than 6.
So you're taking the Bears on this, you said?
I'll take the Bears minus 6, yep, or plus 6.
All right, fine. Outright 2? Do you think the Bears win this one outright 2, or they just cover?
No. I think the Titans win, but they don't cover.
Okay. The next matchup I have, and this is a very interesting one. They both sit at 5-2. The Baltimore Ravens go into Indianapolis sitting at 5-2, both of which are undefeated in their respective situations approaching this game. The Ravens are undefeated on the road. The Colts are undefeated at home. This game is even. The over-under is sitting at 48. Who do you like in this matchup and why?
I like the Ravens. I looked really hard at this one, and I might still make a late decision bet on it. The Colts obviously are pretty good defensively, and the Ravens, you know, I mean, obviously Lamar Jackson is something different to handle, which I don't think the Colts can contain. But the Ravens still just haven't shown much downfield, at least not enough to give me confidence. The difference in this game, the reason why I like the Ravens to win, is the Ravens' defense blitzes more than any team. And I just know that you know, they're going to come at Rivers nonstop, and I just can see Rivers floating that ball up there for a couple interceptions that are going to be the difference. So I like the Ravens to pull this one out.
And I pulled the Colts. We're split. Look at this. This is crazy. I'm glad Norm came here because now I got a difference of opinion. Do I need to mention this? Panthers and Arrowhead.
The question is, by how many did the Chiefs win by?
That's why I made it fun for myself to pick this. You guys are favored by 10.
Yeah, ten points is always scary. It doesn't matter who you play, just because of the garbage time minutes and what have you. But I'm not so sure 10's enough. I mean, and again, I haven't paid a lot of attention to the Panthers at all this year. And I know they've been in most of their games. And you know, it's just one of those things where if Kansas City comes out and just gets 21 quick points, you know, and it's late in the second quarter, it's 21-3, you know, the Panthers are going to be one-dimensional. And that's how the Chiefs really win a lot of games. They get way far ahead, and teams have to press. You know, I know Christian McCaffrey's coming back, and obviously the Chiefs' run defense isn't the greatest. I don't know if that's enough of a factor to really play in. I'll take the Chiefs minus the points. But, yeah, anytime you take double-digit points is scary.
That's the same thing I said in my head, but I'm like, I'm mad as you. I said, you can't go wrong if it's Chiefs with that type of spread. Like, it's the Chiefs and that type of number. It's like, okay, any other team, you're like, can they really blow them out? The Chiefs is like, well, if they put supreme gas in the tank or if they put regular gas in there, they're at home, so I think it's supreme gas in that tank. So the Panthers got their hands full. I don't know if that defense can slow them down to keep them under 10. It's interesting. So the offense that you guys got, I'm not mad at it right now. I'm not. Okay. The next matchup I have are the Detroit Lions on the road going up against the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings are favored by 3.5 in a division battle.
Yeah, that's a real tough one, too. That's a game I definitely wouldn't touch. What was the point spread again?
3.5. It started at 4. It's going down. Well, a half a point.
Yeah, 3.5. I would just take Minnesota only because they're a home team. But, I mean, that game can go either way. I mean, that's such an evenly matched toss-up game. And I'll just take the home team as a safe bet.
Yeah, well, welcome to the world of timers. Welcome. Okay. So you picked Washington in this matchup, so we're caught up now. Okay, so the next matchup I have are the Houston Texans on the road up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Texans are favored by 7, in which I think Gardner Minshew is out with a thumb injury. Who do you like in this matchup and why?
Yeah, I'll definitely take the Texans just because the Jaguars are going to be on Minshew, in my eyes, is still a second-string quarterback, so now they're onto a third-string quarterback. And then they'll keep the game on the ground, and the Texans' defense is good enough to stop a one-dimensional team like that. And you're getting a better quarterback in Deshaun Watson there. So I like the Texans to win this, and I think they'll cover.
I like the Texans, too. I think they will cover this game as well. Also, Jacksonville, they have good names on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know if this defense is geared up to slow down the Texans team, who is also fighting for their second win of the season. This being a division rivalry, they know each other. They're both sitting at 1-6. I have to favor the Texans on this one. Bad enough, the Texans are winless on the road. If they lose this game, more heads have to roll outside of Bill O'Brien being the head coach and GM. There has to be issues. There has to be more heads rolling if they lose this game up against Jacksonville without their starter. The next matchup I have are the Las Vegas Raiders up against the Los Angeles Chargers. I got that one out clean, yes. Which this is basically a pick 'em. The Raiders are favored by a point. You have to win by a point, but I think this is a field goal type of game. But all the stars are in line. Is Derek Carr for real? Or are we looking at a situation where Justin Herbert is the real deal rookie, where a lot of people were saying that they – didn't think that he should be starting, but things happen in the kitchen. But he's doing his thing right now and earning some respect. But I don't know which way to go in this game. I am going to save face and go Raiders, to say the least. I think that this team is more geared to try to win this game, but the Chargers have a lot of pieces defensively and in the offensive scheme of things to try to make this a game, let alone, again, this is a division rivalry. Who do you like in this matchup, Norm? Raiders or Chargers, and this is in Los Angeles, or Inglewood, excuse me.
So in years past, these are the kind of games I like to bet on because they're divisional games, and there's just a lot of, you know, obviously history between the teams because they're divisional. They understand what they do best. They take things away. And so typically on divisional games like this, I would take the underdog on the money line, and they're always really good close, tight games. But the Raiders are different this year. I'm telling you, their record's sitting at 4-3. They've had some tough losses. But they're winning the games they're supposed to. And I think they only got blown out by New England, which when you go back and look at that game, was really interesting how that unfolded. But I just think John Gruden really has the Raiders in the right direction. And as good as Herbert's looking, and the Chargers are able to put points on, the Raiders are the better team. And I think they're going to win this game. So when you make it a 1-point game or a pick 'em, I'll take the Raiders on this one.
That's what I came up with. Even though I do love Justin Herbert as a quarterback, he's awesome. Especially with him being a rookie and actually trying to turn this team around, where they had Tyrod Taylor there, and that was the only shot that they had, and an unfortunate situation happened within their own locker room, is how Herbert got this job. If Herbert could pull this off, he's definitely making a name for himself. I agree with you. I'm going Raiders also. I think they have more of the pieces. I think John Gruden is basically looking at the chops to come after a rookie quarterback like this, and him being at home trying to be comfortable. I think they'll try to make this a game, to say the least. The next matchup, I'm going to do this because I'm trying to be like, good thing that I don't really have too many Cowboy fans that call in a lot, but Steelers on the road in Jerry's World up against the Cowboys, in which the Steelers are favored by 14.5, so I want to have that type of fun. I know outright I'm going to pick the Steelers. I think you probably are too. So let's make this fun. Do the Steelers cover 14.5 up against a very questionable Cowboys team?
I think they do. I watched the Cowboys. They were obviously, I think they were the Sunday night game last week. And, I don't know how they're going to generate points. I mean, you know, a lot of people – I don't know if people were dishing on Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, he's obviously not producing like the way they've paid him. But you got to remember, the Cowboys, I want to say it was 3 years ago, they built that offensive line through the draft and tried to replicate what they did in the early 90s. and they had it there. You know, well, then all of a sudden Travis Frederick retires, and then I think they lost one of those guards that they had from that they drafted, and I think someone else is injured. Or Tyron Smith has been, all of a sudden you don't have that O line. It's not the same. And as good as Zeke is, because Zeke's a tremendous athlete, things are different. It's not coming as easy. And then you got to try to balance the offense. You can't just hand the ball to him 30 times a game. They don't have it. It's a mess down there. And this kid that's in there playing quarterback, I don't see any plays they're going to call that's going to change. You're going up against one of the best defenses in the league right now. So I don't see how the Cowboys really score any points. I mean, 10? I don't know how they get 10, but if you give them 10, you know, you're saying Pittsburgh just needs to get 4 touchdowns, and I think they do that easily. So I think they do cover.
Okay, so let me put it this way. Since you set that table up, I'm going to go over there and eat with you. So since they cover, right, and since you painted that picture, I love it. I'm glad I'm here with somebody that I can eat with, right? They are starting this game not with Andy Dalton, because Andy Dalton is on the list, not with Ben DiNucci, because Ben DiNucci did not show himself well in that Philly game. This is why I guess that they're falling back to Garrett Gilbert is their starter. Cooper Rush has been added to the roster as well. Do they get shut out is the question.
Oof, you know, it's actually a really good bet. I got to look at the lines on that. That's not a bad bet. It's probably not a good payout because there's a very good chance they could get shut out. I just don't see what the Cowboys can do to generate points. And again, the Steelers' defense is really good. So, I mean, I don't even know how the Cowboys can get first downs.
So you think it's a possibility of them getting shut out?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a very good possibility.
Okay, so moving right along, the way that you set that table up, I agree with you. I think the Cowboys will end up getting shut out up against a quality Steelers defense. This is probably one of the better matchups at the 4 o'clock, in which a lot of people did not think that this would be the situation that we'd be dealing with at this point in time, including Norma Rendis. The Miami Dolphins are playing the Arizona Cardinals, in which the Dolphins are sitting at 4-3. The Cardinals are sitting at 5-2. Somebody does not like one of these quarterbacks. I won't say any more names. Who do you like in this matchup, Dolphins or Cardinals? And both of these guys are with winning records at this point in time.
Well, I don't like both quarterbacks. I don't like Tua. I don't like Kyler. I don't like the small rinky-dink quarterback like that. Russell Wilson and Drew Brees are the only two that come to mind that were smaller quarterbacks that were able to be mobile and have good careers. So even though Kyler Murray, the guy's amazingly quick and flashy, this is a perfect example where, based on the Cardinals and what I've seen, this would be a very good money bet right here. Cardinals -6, I think, is an easy win because the Dolphins, again, won last week with Tua. Tua's numbers were, I mean, he didn't have to play. I think the defense won that game for him. So we haven't seen anything from Tua yet, and I'm still not a buyer in him. So this is a game I would definitely take the Cardinals -6, only I won't bet it because the last time I tried to put money on Kyler Murray, he burned me. So I like the Cardinals -6, though, and I think they win this game easily.
You are something else. You are really something else, bro. Both of these guys trying to do their doggone thing. Tua just beat the Rams, and you're not even satisfied with Kyler being 5-2. 5-2 in this still Wow, this dude is brutal. I'm telling you, man. If the Chiefs didn't win the freaking Super Bowl, you could pick on them, but you can't. Like, oh my goodness. Okay, so the last of Sunday, and this is really waiting all day for Sunday night. The New Orleans Saints go on the road up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Divisional battle. Saints sit at 5-2. The Buccaneers are 6-2, undefeated at home. One of the losses for the Bucs was the Saints to start the season off. Does Tom Brady protect his house is the question. The spread is 3.5 for Tampa Bay. Enters Antonio Brown. Who do you like, Breeze or Brady?
Well, that's a hard question because I like Breeze. I like him way better than Brady, but unfortunately, I think the Bucs are going to win this game. The Saints are a very, very good team, but when they lose, it's really interesting. I've watched both their losses. I watched the whole game, and it's hard to pinpoint why they can't move the ball in those losses because it's like, what's the Saints? That's what they do. Drew Brees moves this team up and down the field, and I can't pinpoint it, but it seems like the Saints sometimes just get stymied on the road and against, you know, a better than average team, and that's what we have right here. I think the Buccaneers, and I'm still not big on the Bucs. I mean, obviously their record looks good. I'm still not big on them yet. But I think the Bucs at home here. I think Tom Brady wins this game, and I think they cover the 3.5.
This is a tough one. And Mike Thomas comes back for Breeze. I'm going to already start to split in the hairs, too. I disagree with you. I think Brady's the better quarterback over Breeze. Breeze has actually been struggling after, winning that game up against the Bucs. Even though they both have identical records, the Bucs have the edge in the win. And to give Tom Brady another weapon, you said, unfortunately, I think this could get out of hand. I'm going to go Bucs at home. The Saints really don't show me that they play good football on grass. I'm a big Kamara fan. I want to see if Thomas does have an impact on this game, not just being out there running routes, but being able to move the chains and definitely try to score at least once to make this a feasible game for the Saints to at least win this one. But I'm going to go to Bucs at home, especially with the addition of Antonio Brown. It's just too much to cover for on the defensive side of the ball for the Saints. If they can include any piece in that running game, whether it's Jones, Fournette, or Shady McCoy, this could get out of hand. I'm going to Buccaneers to be safe. Last but not least, we have to do this. It's a Monday night matchup. The Patriots are on the road up against the New York Jets in MetLife Stadium, in which it's looking like Dalton may not be a go. This is the interesting part. Dalton may not be a go in this matchup. Do the Patriots start the winning ways, or do the Jets get their first win on the season? Who do you like in this game? Somebody has to win.
Yeah, like you said, Darnold's probably not going to play. So with him out, the Jets, even with Darnold, the Jets aren't that good of a team. Patriots obviously are having a very bad year. The Patriots are still going to pull away with this. They're definitely the better team. And I think the Jets' defense is, again, you're in a divisional game. They're going to play up for it. They're going to play tight. But the problem is, again, the Jets, I don't think, will be able to score points. And as soon as the Patriots get a 10-point lead, it's over. You know, and the defense will crumble. So I like the Patriots on this one. I wouldn't bet it. 9.5 is a lot, but the Patriots will win this game.
Do they cover? Then let's make it fun then. Do the Patriots cover the 9.5?
I will say no on that just because of garbage time. I could see if the Patriots are up by, 16 points or whatever, and a dumpy touchdown comes in, it kills the spread. So I say no, they don't cover 9.5.
This is a very tough question. I think the Patriots do pull this off on Monday night. I think that they cover. I'm going to give them the nod to pull this off. Cam Newton is being picked on by everybody, including the past two Wednesdays in the kitchen. They have been going off on Cam. I've been the only one being able to defend him, and I can't lie that these guys are coming up with good and interesting facts to go at Cam, but I'm like, he has nothing around him. And people are like, well, other people got stuff done with less around him. I'm like, I get it. But Julian Edelman is his best option, and Julian's not playing either. So it's tough for me to just analyze him. Plus, he fumbled the last play of the game up against the Bills. So I know that has to be a chip on his shoulder, especially with him even saying himself that it could cost him his job permanently. He has to come out here and win this game. There's no way that Cam Newton could survive and not win this game being up against the Jets. They have not won, and they don't really know how their depth chart is looking or their roster that they're attacking each game by game and giving up player by player, week by week. It's just nasty right now in New Jersey, even though I want to say New York, but they play in New Jersey. So I'm going Patriots, and I think they do cover the 10.
You know, it's interesting. Last time I was on the show, Ty, we were talking about how Tua just got the starting nod. And, you know, there's a lot of skepticism both ways. And the point that was brought out in the show was, you know, the Dolphins right in the middle of, you know, maybe trying to get a division title here need to see what they have in Tua so they can decide how they're going to move forward in the future. Wouldn't that apply to the Patriots and what they have in Stidham? I mean, at 2-5, wouldn't you bench Cam at this point and bring in Stidham to see what you have? I mean, it's kind of the same argument. What's your thought on that?
Now that you say it that way, I like the way that you addressed it. Awesome. I'm still going with Cam because Cam, it's not like Cam is an old horse. Like, I still want to run with Cam. Plus, Cam is on a one-year deal. Stidham looked bad against you guys. Like, he came in and threw a pick six. Like, it was like, whoa. Like, it showed you how Hoyer looked, and Hoyer didn't have a clue. Then they brought Stidham, and it was like, wait, it's getting worse. Like, before we keep bleeding, like, hold on. Put a Band-Aid over that thing and stop it. So at least we can try to save face. And I get it. A lot of people pick on me for saying that he doesn't have pieces around him. He doesn't, and he's coming into a new system, and he's pressing. You got to think that he still thinks that he has it in the tank to do something, and he doesn't have any pieces that's not getting separation. By gosh, the guy that they got out of the draft, and N'Keal Harry, they really think like he's a bust. He's looking bad. Like, and then Edelman's off the field, so like they have no tight end. Of course you got a computer or something in front of you, but it's like you can't randomly walk up on somebody and say who's the tight end for the Patriots, because you would think Gronk, and you can't go Gronk. And then it's like, you know, every quarterback, they look at their tight end as being a safety net. He has no safety net, let alone receiver to go through. It's him or his running back in his backfield. Edelman's out, so it's like, yeah, right, you could get somebody out of the middle of, I don't know, Woburn, Massachusetts, and get them to play for him. That's the only way I'm looking at that. But up against the Jets have the issues. Darnold's not playing. Frank Gore is their go-to guy, and I love Frank because I'm a Hurricane fan, but come on, like, Frank being the initial running back that they have to go to, I think this is a more or less a Crowder and company situation for the Jets to try to pull this off, but I think Bill Belichick has what it takes to win this game, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Jets did pull this off. I'll just start shaking my head crazy, but I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, you know, Jameson Crowder is actually having when he plays, he's been out four games this year, but when he's in, he's their entire offense. But that's one thing Bill Belichick does. He's a great defensive mind. He will take away what you have best. And watch Crowder, especially with no Darnold, watch Crowder have two catches for like 15 yards in this game. That's what Belichick does. He takes away the absolute best guy. So for all you fantasy listeners out there, I would probably bench Jameson Crowder.
Wow. Interesting. That's a good one. Now, and I agree with you. Belichick does take away his best option. He's a slot, but he's more dangerous at the slot. So I wonder how he would try to figure this one out. I agree with you. I think they will slow Crowder down. I don't know if it's a 2 catch for 15. That's a lot. If he pulls this one off, Belichick is still a genius. If he does this, even in the realm, like 3 catches for 27 yards, I still give you credit. Like, I still give you credit. But I'm with you on that one. I do think that Belichick has to save face because Brady's up here cruising, looking like he's the better option that Belichick should have went with. And, you know, the Patriots are like, well, we're going to cut our losses and move forward with the youth. You know, who knows? I feel different. Okay, so we are at the tail end of the show. I need a plug, close out, anything that you like to promote, anything like you like to talk about before we get out of the door here at the.
Yeah, not much to promote. Hey, now that the election's over, maybe the COVID will die down in a sense. That's something, obviously, the COVID thing that's out there is something we've been dealing with for most of the year now. And it's unfortunate how much the news and media amps up things. There are some unfortunate situations that have stemmed from the COVID, But then there's a bunch of stuff that's pushed and promoted at us that we don't know about. So hopefully everyone out there can stay safe and America can start getting back to normal.
Wow, I couldn't have said it better myself. Like, and that's talking on the side of humanity, man. And just like I said at the beginning of the show, you didn't hear it. Just because Joe Biden is in office doesn't mean that the pressure stops. Like, we still got to press him to make things happen for the people. Like, I think we more or less got the mindset of the division of getting Trump out of office is one thing. The people have spoken, and now it's like more trying to mend. Even though people may feel a certain way behind the scenes, we gotta mend things behind the scenes. That cannot sit in people any longer, man. It can't. And I bear hug you if you're on target. I'm talking that into existence too. That the COVID is over. Like let that be the scenario. Like everybody kind of get this thing to blow away. Somehow, some way they maneuvered this to take away 200 plus thousand people from America. Let alone the numbers that are around the world. So it's over. Let's survive this storm, get back to rebuilding and functioning and knowing one another, not saying, oh, let's exist or get along. I don't like that. That's disgusting. Like, no, let's be one. Like, we got him, man. We got him. And everybody needs help. Even watching Biden in his speech last night, like, he needs help. He needs help. Forget just putting the pressure on him. You don't want him to be pressed and pass away or something like that. All across the board, we as the human race need help. We need to figure that out now. Not somehow, some way. I was about to say somehow, some way. We need to figure that out now. I don't even know how to follow that up. I just got real passionate. Like, he just pulled that all out of my chest. Okay. Everybody, you know, happy week 9 in the NFL. NCAA college football was awesome. I got a celebrity out here that I have to try to entertain, so I have to get moving. Thank you for stopping by, Norm, everybody that's been out here listening, giving us the numbers. Excellent stuff, Sports City. But you already know how this go. On that note, tell a friend that it's the best again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Dangerous. Money and power is changing us, and now we're lethal, infected with the evil.